8 years ago, Japan was devastated by the most powerful earthquake to hit the country in more than 100 years. It created a 43-foot-tall tsunami that killed nearly 16,000 people and also knocked out the power at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. It was the biggest nuclear meltdown since Chernobyl in 1986. 8 years later, people are slowly trickling back into the region, but the cleanup could take another 40 years to complete. Roger Chang is the executive editor of CNET News, and he traveled to Fukushima in November to cover the cleanup efforts. Roger, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you wrote about the reminders of the disaster everywhere. I was a kid during Chernobyl. We're still talking about it in many instances. So what did you see in Fukushima?
You know, little things and big things. I mean, driving through the areas near the towns that are near Fukushima Daiichi, you can see they're still ghost towns. A lot of the houses are still barricaded with metal gates. We actually hopped some of those gates and we walked into some of the stores and shops there, devastated by the tsunami and the earthquake. And really, you could sort of see the imprints of what things looked like 8 years ago. Like, you can still see clothes on some of the mannequins in the retail stores, but they're all abandoned, and it's crazy. And just nearby, I think one of the more stark reminders of the disaster, bags of radiated dirt, hundreds of bags piled up everywhere that they can't really get rid of at this point.
Well, I want to get back to that in a second. And so far, we understand, you said you're describing a ghost town, basically, but there are some people who are back.
Absolutely. The town's a little further away, I'd say about 15 to 20 minute drive outside of Daiichi. You could definitely see life trickling back in. The police station was open. This local supermarket was open. I did see people there. But it's kind of in spurts, and it's still very industrial. The main highway going through Daiichi, largely it's construction vehicles, it's trucks, really, for the cleanup effort. There aren't a lot of signs of normal everyday life.
You mentioned the dirt and the bags that you were seeing, the radiation that's still there. Is it even safe to be there right now?
It's debatable at this point. Okay. I'd say Japan and Tokyo Electric Power Company, or TEPCO, would argue that the surrounding area is relatively safe at this point. But there are those stark reminders. And interestingly, when you're driving down the highway, you'll see signs that show the radiation level every several hundred meters or so. To be fair, the radiation level there is lower than it could be, I guess. It's still higher than it is, say, in Tokyo, but it is, I guess, within sort of a safe zone. Just interesting, like even the daily weather report on the local TV station, they always include the radiation level in the area.
Speaking with Roger Chang about cleanup efforts in the wake of the Fukushima nuclear disaster 8 years later. Roger, you mentioned TEPCO, who's the company that owns and operates the plant that failed. They're saying that the cleanup, despite all these, you know, small changes we're seeing now, could take up to 40 years.
That's correct. It's been very slow going. It's been 8 years, and really only now we've literally started scratching the surface of the problem. Just back in February, they finally sent a robot into one of the reactors, Unit 2, which is actually the most radioactive of the three reactors. And for the first time, was actually able to pick up and hold a pebble within the core of the reactor. And that's how far they've gone in 8 years, is that after a lot of failure, they finally got one of these robots in there and actually touched a pebble. But that's it. And that sort of gives you a sense of the magnitude of the problem, of like how much more that they actually need to get through to clean up these reactors.
What about prevention? Has TEPCO laid out any plans for that so that there is not another disaster like this?
Well, not so much, but only because they've shut down all of their power plants. In fact, I think all but 11 nuclear power plants are shut down, including all of the TEPCO plants. There's not even a discussion to turn those things back on. And so TEPCO isn't really focused on prevention at this point. They're focused on cleaning up Daiichi, which is a massive, massive problem.
One of the most important issues, it appears, is the one of contaminated water. What's happening there, and how easily can they contain it?
So that, I think the core problem, I think the dirt is a very visual, graphic reminder, but what you don't really see is the amount of toxic water that needs to be cleaned up and collected. And they can't do anything with this water. They actually just have to store it. And so for the last 8 years, they've been storing a huge amount, 1.1 million tons of contaminated water sealed up in 900 tanks on the facility. It's mind-boggling. And it keeps leaking. So imagine a leaky bucket that you constantly have to keep collecting the water and storing it. And so they estimate they have enough room to hold about 270,000 tons of water, which would take them through sometime next year. And then after that, they run out of space.
You said it keeps leaking. That's concerning to me, that it's leaking back into the environment?
Yes. So this is the issue, that there are leaks. Well, one, some of the water needs to be routinely cleaned out because it's the water used to cool the fuel rods. But there are leaks at the bottom of these reactors. What they've done basically is to create this ice wall, and I kind of profiled it in one of my pieces. They've kind of created an ice wall around the reactors to harden the ground around it, basically prevent the toxic water from leaking out and the groundwater that's flowing from the mountains in the west from going in. So they've tried to reduce the amount of water, the toxic water being generated, but it's still a big problem.
How do you even contain something like water? I mean, obviously we're talking about how, but really how? I mean, are they clear that they've gotten all of the contaminated water? Is there potential for there to be more given these leaks and the dirt that we just discussed?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job of collecting the water inside. Again, like they've created multiple barriers to kind of prevent the water from going out to sea. I'm sure there's some leakage, but they've actually done a lot to at least prevent the water from leaking out. And they've got facilities on the grounds that actually are designed to treat some of the water. And they've actually managed to get they've gotten 62 out of the 63 contaminant elements out of the water, but the last one, tritium, is because it's genetically bonded, is really, really difficult. And so the water is still technically deemed unsafe by the government, by every regulator out there. And so they've got to store it all.
Wow. Roger Chang is the executive editor of CNET News. Roger, thanks for this update.
Thanks for having me.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.